Philippians chapter 4. And I have a half the amount of time, so I'll have to talk twice as fast. You have to listen really fast, all right? So I hope you'll pay attention. I have a message here from the Word of God, Philippians 4, about, of course, all messages should be from the Word of God. So, but this is about being a missions-minded church. And every church should be missions-minded and should have a heart and a focus for missions. And when you hear the words missions-minded, you know, what comes to your mind? You know, for some of us, we might think, you know, a church that maybe supports a lot of missionaries, and that's part of it. Or maybe a church that takes a bunch of missions trips, you know, and I think that's part of it. Or maybe a church that has outreach ministries like you have, the bus ministry, things like that. But what is a church that is missions-minded? And here we see in Philippians 4, the church at Philippi. And this was a church that was very missions-minded and a church that supported the Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest missionaries, if not the greatest missionary that the world has ever seen. And I want to talk today about how we as a church can be more of a missions-minded church and have a heart of missions. And so let's look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And if you're able to stand, why don't we stand for the reading of the Word of God? If not, I understand. I don't want to stand half the time either. Philippians 4, verse 10. And I'll read down to verse 16. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction," or you helped me with what I was going through. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the service today, Lord. And thank you so much for all this group of people, Lord, who are faithful, Lord, to be in your house today, Lord, even though regardless of the elements outside, Lord. And thank you that they're here today, Lord. And I pray that you will bless each and every one of them for their faithfulness in being here. And be with me as I preach this morning, Lord. Give me the words to say. Give me wisdom, Lord. Guide my thoughts, Lord, and help me to say the right words and help me not to say the wrong words. And I just pray that you would meet with us this morning and help us as a church, Lord, to be more of a missions-minded church. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So there are four qualities that I see here in Philippians chapter 4 of how we as a church can be more of a missions-minded church. And when I say church, I'm not just talking about a building, of course. We all know that a church is a called-out assembly. And it's the group of Christians that we have here today is the church. So each and every one of us are part of the church of God. And how can we as a church become more missions-minded? And I believe there are four qualities I see here in Philippians chapter 4. In verse number 10, look there look there if you would with me. Notice that word care there. It says, "But now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." This church there at Philippi cared about the Apostle Paul. They cared about his ministry. They cared about what he was going through. They cared about the struggles he had. And believe me, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of struggles. He went through so many things. You know, I don't even have time to list everything he went through. But he went through many struggles. And this church cared about the Apostle Paul. So we, in order to be a missions-minded church, we need to care about others. We need to care about people. We need to care about those here in Jasonville and in the surrounding communities around this area. Not very many, but there's surrounding communities throughout this. I'm just kidding. And we need to care about those around us and around this area. We need to have a heart for people around this area. But not only this area, but also the entire world. You know, I talked about Uruguay this morning. You need to have a heart and care about the country of Uruguay. And a heart for each and every one of the missionaries that are here for this month. And I hope that you'll get a heart and you care about the fields that they represent and the people that they represent. So a missions-minded church cares about others. You know, only about 4% of the world's population lives here in the United States. About 95-96% of the world lives outside of the U.S. And we notice in John 3:16, it doesn't say God loves the U.S., does it? It says, "For God so loved the world." God loves each and every person throughout the world. You know, we know the song, red, yellow, black, and white. You know, they are precious in his sight. Each and every person is precious and worthy of getting salvation from God. You know, I believe that if we get a heart for God's big world, he will get a heart for our little world here in Jasonville. And if we care about missions and care about worldwide evangelism, then God will have a heart for our little world. You know, there's about 7.7 billion people, give or take a few million, here in the world today. And only in about 2.1 billion of those people have never one time heard the gospel. And you know what? Every day, a sobering reminder is that every day from those 2.1 billion people, about 47,000 people die and enter into a Christless eternity. And when we hear something like that, our hearts just break for the thousands of people who die every single day without Christ. We need to have a heart for those people. We need to care for those people. We need to love those people. And we need to be determined to try to get the gospel to those people. So missions-minded church will care about others. Missions-minded church will care about missionaries. You know, and because they care about missionaries, you know, they will pray for them. You know, I mentioned I have a prayer card. It's called a prayer card for a reason, because I hope that you'll take that and you will pray for us. If you haven't already gotten that prayer card, I hope that you'll get that prayer card and you'll put it somewhere and pray for us on a weekly basis, because we need your prayers. You know, the country of Uruguay needs your prayers. The people there, they might not know they need your prayers. They might not realize that they need your prayers, that they might have never heard of this church, but they need your prayers. So I hope that you'll pray for them. And so missions-minded church will care for others. And we see in verse number 10 that also this church hadn't given in a while. At the end of verse 10, it says, ye lacked opportunity. You know, this church kind of, they lost touch with the Apostle Paul. He was in prison, and they didn't exactly know where he had gone. And so they had lost contact with him. But he said that he knew that they would have given to him, and they would have helped him if they had been able to. And there was also in verse 11 and 12 that the Apostle Paul was content where he was. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The Apostle Paul, he says he was content. Like I mentioned earlier, he went through many difficulties, just like you and I. We all go through difficulties, but he had learned to be content. And how had he learned to be content? Well, look in verse number 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He had learned to be content because he got his strength from Christ. He didn't get his strength from social media. You know, so many of us, you know, I'm sorry, I'm hitting a hot button there. But you know, so many of us, we go through a difficulty and we'll post it on social media or we'll text a friend, you know, before we'll go to God and ask him to help us with the problems and with the struggles that we're going through. When we're going through a struggle, you know, our first thought shouldn't be, you know, to post it on Facebook or to text someone. Our first thought should be, okay, Lord, I need your help with this. I'm trusting you to help me and to give me the strength to go through this and to take care of me through this problem that I'm facing. That's where our strength should come from. Our strength should come from the Lord. So the Apostle Paul, a missions-minded church, will care about the needs of others. Will care about the needs of their missionaries. And let's go to the next point is that a missions-minded church not only cares about others, but also helps others. Look at verse number 14. It says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, of course, we know that word communicate, that isn't saying that they just had a conversation back and forth and, you know, they just talked about how the weather was going, you know, and things like that. No, that word communicate means that the church there at Philippi helped the Apostle Paul. They did what they could to be a help and a blessing and to meet the needs of the Apostle Paul. They actually put feet to their faith. They actually did something about the needs that they saw that the Apostle Paul had. You know, and when we see a need, you know, whether it's here in Jasonville or whether it's with a bus kid or a family in the church or whether it's with a missionary, you know, if the Lord gives us the means and the resources to help them, you know, we should decide that we're going to do something to help them and to be a blessing and a help to them. You know, there's an amazing story that I actually learned about this morning. In World War II, there's a town called North Platte, Nebraska. You know, small little town there, and pretty much all the soldiers that would go just be shipped off to Europe or other parts would go through this small little town. And has anyone heard of the town of North Platte, Nebraska? You have? Okay, a few of you have. Okay, small little town. And so pretty much all the soldiers would go through this town on their way to being deployed. And so the townspeople, one time they heard that some of the soldiers from their town and the boys from their town were coming through on a train, and the train usually stops off for about 10 minutes. They can get a quick break, you know, and get some coffee and get back on the train and head off to their destination. And the townspeople heard that some of their own men were going to be on the train, the next train coming in. And so they spread word throughout the town, and they gathered food, and they gathered letters, you know, and gifts to give to these soldiers. And about 500 people showed up at the train depot there to give them the gifts for these soldiers from their hometown and to welcome them and give them a little bit of encouragement. But you know what? When that train came in, it wasn't the people from their town that were on that train. It was some soldiers from Kansas, you know, that were on that train. And so I'm sure the people were a little disappointed, and they thought, man, you know, our guys aren't here. You know, what are we going to do with all these gifts and these letters and these gifts that we're going to give these people? And they decided that, you know what, we're going to give these to these soldiers from Kansas, and we'll be a blessing and help to them. And so they did that, and those soldiers left. And but then they had an idea. They said, you know what, pretty much the majority of soldiers who are going off to war come through our little town here in North Platte, Nebraska. And they said, you know what, why don't we do that for every soldier who comes this way? Why don't we try to give them a gift, and give them a letter, and do something kind for them during their short little stay here, just about 10 minutes that they'll be here in North Platte, Nebraska. And so they did that. And you know what? During World War II, about 6 million American soldiers passed through the town of North Platte, and pretty much each and every one of them got something from the people there, and they got some encouragement and a gift from the people there at North Platte. And you know what? Your soldiers, as they recount, you know, getting those gifts from the people there in North Platte, you know, each and every one of them, they would break into tears, recalling how the kindness of the people there and the generosity of the people there in North Platte. And you know what? You know, those people there in North Platte, they could have said, you know what, they're only here for 10 minutes. We can't really do much for them. You know what? They're just going on their way anyway. You know what? They'll probably be okay. We don't really need to do anything. They could have done that, but they didn't. They decided, you know what? We have a small little window. We have a small little opportunity, and we can do something to be kind to them, and we can do something to be a help and a blessing to these soldiers that pass our way. And the truth is, each and every one of us, we have small windows, you know, of time. We can be a help and a blessing to people. You know what? It could be when we're at the store somewhere, or maybe making a visit, you know, for a bus route, or a soul-winning visit, or a hospital visit. Or it could be maybe the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart, you know, to send a text or to send a letter to someone. You know, and we have a small window of time. We can either say, you know what, I'm going to do something, and I'll be a help and a blessing. It might not be much, but I'll do what I can to be a help. Or we can just say, you know what, I won't do anything, and I'll just kind of pass it on, and I think they'll be okay. We have each and every one of us has a small window when we can be a help and a blessing. And I hope we'll take advantage of those opportunities. And I hope we'll take advantage of those opportunities, and we'll use that time to be a help and a blessing to others. And even use that time as well to get the gospel to people. So I hope that you'll work to try to be a help and a blessing to others. And then thirdly, Missions Minded Church puts its focus on Christ, focuses on Christ. Look in verse number 15. It says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." And I think those are sobering words, "but ye only." You know, this is the only church that gave to the Apostle Paul. You know, other church, and if this church compared themselves with other churches and saw what other churches were doing, that, you know, this other church isn't giving to the Apostle Paul, and this other church over here, they're not doing anything for missions, and this other church over here, you know, they're not doing anything to help the Apostle Paul. And if this church did that and they compared themselves with all the other churches around them, you know what, we wouldn't have this story here in Philippians 4 of how this church had helped the Apostle Paul. But this church decided to keep its focus on Christ and not on everyone around them. They decided that they weren't going to compare themselves to what everyone else was doing. They were just going to look to Christ and see what Christ wanted them to do, and ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do to help the Apostle Paul?" Not, "What is everyone else doing?" And so many of us, we can get wrapped up in this dangerous cycle of comparison and comparing ourselves with others. You know, it's like the idea, you know, of you, when you see your neighbor, they get a new car, you know, and so you see their car, you know, and you have this old pickup truck, and you're thinking, man, you know, they have a 2019 brand new car, and I like their car. You know what? I want to look better than them. And so what do? You know, we'll go out to the dealer and we'll buy another new car, you know, and we'll finance it. And so we'll have, you know, $19,900 that we'll owe on that car, you know. But the truth is that your neighbor, they also owe $19,900 on their car. You know what? And we'll get our car just because we want to, you know, one up our neighbors. And we'll get into this habit of comparing ourselves with other people. And I hope that you won't fall into that trap of comparing yourselves with others. You'll decide that you're going to keep your focus on Christ and on what the Lord wants you to do. And as a church, I hope, and as church members, that you'll make your focus on what the Lord wants you to do. You say, Lord, you know, I don't want to compare myself with what others in the church are doing. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you? How much do you want me to give to missions? How much do you want me to serve you? You know, what responsibilities do you want me to take on and to do? And I hope that you'll focus on Christ and on what the Lord wants you to do and keep your eyes off of this world. You know, other people, they'll let you down. You know, if you focus on what other people are doing and on getting your affirmation from others, you know, they'll let you down and they'll discourage you. But the Lord will never let you down, like I mentioned in Sunday school. So just keep your eyes on Christ and keep your focus on what the Lord wants you to do. And then lastly, we see that a missions-minded church makes missions a priority. Look in verse number 16. It says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." You know, this church there at Philippi, they didn't just give to the Apostle Paul one time. You know, they didn't just send a gift one time and they said, all right, you know, we sent a small amount and we helped you out. All right, we're done and you're on your own. They didn't do that, did they? No, the Bible says they sent once and again. They repeatedly decided that they were going to help the Apostle Paul and do what they could to support him and to be a help and a blessing to him. And it's easy to think that, well, you know what, we supported missions last year, you know, or we had a missions month last year, and we gave to missions last year, and a missions giving went up last year, and why do we have to try to support more missionaries? You know, why do we have to have more missionaries in? Why is this guy to Uruguay here on Sunday today? You know, why do we have to do that? We can get into that mindset of, you know, why do we have to do more for missions? And I hope that you won't fall into that mindset. I hope that we'll realize that missions is important. Missions is important to God. And one reason that that we still need to push missions is that the need is even greater now than it ever has been in the past. The need is even greater now. There's even a greater need for missionaries than any time in the past. You know, in 1950, there were about 2.5 billion people in the world in 1950. And at that time, there were about 100,000 missionaries that went out to reach the world with the gospel. It's about one missionary per 25,000 people. And do you think those numbers have gotten better or worse today? Sadly, much worse. You know, like I mentioned earlier, it's about a little over 7 billion, about 7.7 billion people in the world today. And we only send out about 29,000 missionaries from the U.S. throughout the world. And only about 7,200 of those are independent Baptist missionaries that are going out to preach the gospel. That's about one missionary per 260,000 people. I did the math myself, all right, so thank you. That's one missionary per 260,000 people that's out there. You know, the need is even greater now. I mean, it's very difficult to reach 260,000 people with the gospel. That's going to take a lot of work, a lot of prayer, and a lot of effort. The need is even greater now for more missionaries to go out and reach the world. That's why we need to do more for missions, not less. We don't need to stop giving to missions or stop pushing missions or stop supporting missions because there's even a greater need now than there ever has been in the past. We need to fast and pray for more missionaries. Luke 10:2 says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to spend time praying and begging the Lord, "Lord, send more missionaries. Lord, call more missionaries out of our church and help us to be able to do more for missionaries." You know, I hope that you'll do more to pray for other countries and other missionaries. You know, I hope that you'll learn about countries, that you'll get a globe And you'll start to see some of the different countries, and you'll start to pray for them and learn about the people in those countries and learn about the needs there and learn about the missionaries that might be there and take the time to pray and beg the Lord to reach those nations with the gospel. We need to do more for missionaries. We need to do more for missions as well. And we need to give more to missions. You know, that's what we need to support, more missionaries. Then our churches need to send more missionaries out. You know, sometimes I think it's sad that sometimes we want to just keep everyone here in our churches and say us four no more, you know, and no one can go out, and no one can start another church, and no one can go to the mission field. We kind of just want to keep everyone in our own little corner there and not let anyone go out. But I hope that won't be our mindset. I hope our mindset will be that we want to do as much as we can to reach other countries and other parts of the world with the gospel. And maybe you've heard, the term of a mission statement. You know, it's a statement that maybe a leader or a CEO of an organization would have. And that mission statement just tells others what that organization, the purpose of that organization is. And we see in Luke 19:10, I would call it the mission statement of Jesus. Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was the mission statement. That was the purpose that the Lord Jesus came to this earth, was to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, he sent his son Jesus to this earth, and he made him a missionary. And his goal was to seek and to save the lost. And don't you think that if missions was a priority to God, that it should be a priority to each and every one of us? You know, if that was his purpose statement, was to seek and to save the lost, don't you think it should be a priority for us as well? I think it should be. So let's decide that we'll not do less for missions, but that we'll do more for worldwide evangelism and for missions, and seek to do more to reach the world with the gospel. And let's have a greater heart for missions. And we see the result, and I'll be done. We see the result of a church that is missions-minded. Look in verse number 17. Verse 17, it says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So here, the church at Philippi, they supported the Apostle Paul. And, you know, because they had supported the Apostle Paul, you know, they had fruit in heaven as a result of their support. You know, I mean, wouldn't it be great to be a supporting church of the Apostle Paul, you know, to get the prayer letters of the Apostle Paul, you know? I think Philippians 4, I mean, this chapter is basically a prayer letter of the Apostle Paul. And wouldn't it be great to read about the thousands of people that got saved and all the rewards that we'll have in heaven because of our giving to missions? Wouldn't it be great? You know, and so they had fruit that to their accounts. You know, and then look in verse number 18. It says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God." So first of all, you know, a church that gives to missions is going to have fruit to their accounts. Then also, God will be pleased with their giving. The Bible says it'll be an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable to God. You know, the Lord will just kind of will smell that, and it'll be something that's, you know, well-pleasing to God. You know, I kind of think of it, you know, on a hot summer day, you know, and you smell someone cooking barbecue, you know, and it smells amazing. You're like, man, and you're kind of following the smell. You know, that's kind of what I imagine, something that's well-pleasing to God. And I just lost your attention right there. But, you know, when we give to missions, you know, God is well-pleased, and he will accept that and be well-pleased with our giving. And then lastly, in verse number 19, the church's needs will be taken care of. It says, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." And many of us have heard that verse, and we sometimes apply it to a bunch of different areas, and some of which we probably shouldn't. But I believe that this is talking about the church. As a church gives to missions, that the needs in the church will be taken care of, and the Lord will bless their church. That doesn't mean you'll have a multi-million dollar building, you know, like we're sitting in today, you know, maybe like a $900,000 building, not a multi-million dollar building, but it does say that the Lord will take care of your needs as you support missions, as you support worldwide evangelism, as you send out missionaries, as you pray for missionaries. The Bible says that your needs will be taken care of. You know, as we get a heart for God's big world, he will have a heart for our little world, and he will take care of us, and he will meet our needs. So I hope that as a church that we'll have a greater heart for worldwide evangelism. I hope that we'll care about others. I hope that we'll work to help others. I hope that we'll work to keep our focus on Christ and not compare ourselves with others. and hope that we'll decide to make missions a priority in our church. And the Lord will bless you as a result of that. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. And thank you so much for your word. And thank you so much for the story here in Philippians 4. And help Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, as they get a greater heart for missions, Lord. And thank you for their heart already, Lord. And thank you for their heart for souls. In Jesus' name.